The question was asked, what was Adam's life like in the Garden of Eden? Rambam gives us a certain description, and Gabriel wanted to know what that description is. So I will read and translate a piece of the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, the Guide to the Perplexed. And what you need to know, Omram, when they say, Vayikach Hashem Elokim Ta'adam, Illa Oto, it says Hashem took man, so that means Hashem uplifted. Then the Pasuk says, Vayanicheyu Veganeiden. So then our sages say, Heniach lo. He put him at rest. Lo amar ze alashon lehaaloto mimakom velanicho bemakom. Don't think of it as you're taking this little creature, you pick him up, you put him down on a shelf. That's not what our sages were saying. When they said, Vayikach, Hashem took man, that means he lifted him. Vayanicheyu, he placed him. So don't think that means it's like you pick up a midget with your hands, right? And you pick him up and you put him down. That's what's going on here. Ela, rather what the verse or our sages are saying is, He'alut madrigat mitziuto be'elu hanimtzaot ha'ovot hanifsadot v'yeshvo alinyan echad. Hashem uplifted him. That means he uplifted him in his existence over those things that we have in our life that just pass. You see, in our existence is very connected to things that pass. Ooh, there's pizza. There was pizza. So the minute before there was pizza, it was important. The minute after there's pizza, it's not important. Vayikach Hashem Elokim et Adam. God took man. It means God uplifted him. It doesn't mean he lifted him physically. He lifted him spiritually. He lifted him over those physical things that are fleeting in our lives. And suddenly, Adam had one focus in his life. We get very confused what Hasidim call Pizul Mochin. Our mind is scattered. The Chazon Ish writes in a letter that he wrote to a guy in yeshiva, he says to him, you want to succeed in Torah? You want to enjoy in Torah? Try taking a period of time, 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, and just learn. Don't do anything else. He says, learning could be you learn Gemara, and then you learn Chumash, and then you learn Prophets, and then you learn Mishnah, and then you learn more Gemara. But take a period of time where you're in Torah where nothing else exists. That's how you experience the joy of learning Torah, says the Chazon Ish. When you have continuum, when you have focus. And again, focus doesn't mean I'm learning two lines straight. Focus means I'm in Torah now, I'm not doing anything else. I don't have a cell phone. I don't have SMSs and WhatsApps. I don't have people bugging me. I'm not running outside to see what's on the news. I'm not focused on, did we bomb Syria right now? Is Iran attacking? What's going on? No, I'm Torah. I'm not doing anything else. Torah. Says
2 hours.
Right, focus. That says the Chazon Ish is learning. Says Rambam, you know what Hashem did for Avraham Avinu when he put him in the Garden of Eden? When Chazal say he lifted him, it doesn't mean he lifted him physically. He up to Adam Arishon, Adam. It means he uplifted him spiritually, and he placed him in a reality where his existence was focused on one. What are we focused on? It's such a challenge in our life. If a person can really think about only one thing, what does their bon shom want from me? So then nothing's scary anymore. We can deal with all of life. You know how many questions I had about making Aliyah? How could I handle living here? It's hot and I like air conditioning and I won't be able to afford air conditioning. You know how many months and years this perturbed me. Before I was 21, I had I don't know how many businesses, I don't know how many cars, and I knew when I make Aliyah, I wouldn't have any of that. How can I make Aliyah? It depends on what am I thinking about. Is there one focus? What does their bon shom want for me? Or am I all over the place? So Adam Arishon in Gan Eden was uplifted to the point where there was one thing. What we call achdut, a unification of our being. וממה שצריך שתדעו גם כן ותתעורר עליו, and what you also have to know, says Rambam, and be aroused about, אופני החוכמה בקריאת בני אדם, קין והבל. I would add another point which Rambam alludes to here. What does it mean, Vayanicheyu? Vayanicheyu, says Rambam, means Hashem gave him menucha. He was uplifted, and so he was at peace. Vayanicheyu, Hashem gave him peace in the Garden of Eden. Vayanicheyu is not about he placed him, he put him down. Vayanicheyu is when a person can attain a certain level of existence, so then their existence is a peaceful one. It's not about do I have more or less. It's not about have I, I'm in competition, right? Our whole life we're in competition. Our whole life is a threat. What do people think of me? What will people say about me? No, that's not what's important. Vayanicheyu, heniach lo. He uplifted his existence where what was interesting was what is their bone shom want, and then he placed him, he put him at a state of peace.
The pasuk is Vayanicheyu.
Vayanicheyu began Eden, yeah. Now I'm going to go back a second because now that we understand that, let's go back to a previous piece in the Rambam. The Rambam writes, when man is described in creation, he is described as being created male and female. And then Hashem says, Hashem finished all of creation. And then Hashem gives a new description of the creation of Eve, as Hashem took a rib or a side from Adam and created Eve. And then suddenly we have this description of a tree of life and a tree of knowledge and a snake. So, all of this happens after Adam is in the Garden of Eden. And our sages all agree that this happened on Friday. And our sages also agree that after 6 days of creation, nothing would change in the world. The world was a constant since 6 days of creation.
Was this snake created at the same time as Chava?
It's a good question. No, it would seem the snake was created earlier.
Why did the snake fall to Adam before?
We'll get to that. Rambam will address that. Very good. Very good. And nature came to a peaceful existence after 6 days of creation. And so now, says the Rambam, he says, I'll explain, but what I'm explaining is a very encompassing explanation. I'm not going to make things simple. I don't want to reveal secrets, says the Rambam. I'll give you a little bit of a taste of what I'm trying to explain. You better figure it out on your own. Adam and Eve were created in unison, attached back to back. And then our sages say they were cut in half, Adam and Eve, and then Eve was brought before him. And Eve is described as a chat mitzah le'otav, tzela could mean a rib, tzela could mean a side. And so she was the one side of Adam. And then Adam looks at her and says, etzem atzamai, she's bones from my bones, basal mi bisari, she's flesh from my flesh. And that's the idea that she is called Isha. Isha means active man. Ish is man. Isha, the what came of man. And so, obviously being together, attached, was bad. And now Hashem says they have to get back together in a way that's good. And so this was part of God's plan in creation, that they would begin in a way that their attachment was not positive. Being back to back is not positive to man and woman. Think about that when you do this to your wife. When you turn your back to your wife. What's the most natural thing to do in a fight? Turn your back to your wife. And now says Rambam, our sages describe the snake as being big like a camel, and on top of the snake is riding the angel of death, or Satan, or however you want to call that angel that messes people's lives up. And Chazal call him Samael, which really means the one who tries to erase God from this world. And our sages say that about Satan, about the angel that tries to mislead us into going the wrong path in our life. So one example we find is that Satan, or Samael, that's the name our sages use, shows up when Avram and Yitzhak are on the way to the binding, to the Akedah. And he shows up to Avram and he says, "Don't you think you've lost it, old man? After all these years, don't you think you've gone mad?" So you understand that when our sages said on top of the serpent was riding Samael or Satan, our sages were saying this concept that you find in other places in Midrashim, that the snake represents those thoughts that say, maybe I should not be doing what God just told me to do. Avram Avinu, on the way to the binding, has this snake show up and tell him, or this angel show up and tell him, "Don't you think maybe you've lost it?" The same thing with Yitzchak. He shows up to Yitzchak and he says, "Why are you listening to the old man? He's gone mad. You're going to let him kill you?" So here we start understanding what the name Nachash in the story of the Garden of Eden represents. Now he shows up to seduce Eve. But he doesn't show up to Adam. He figures, through Eve, I'll be able to bring down Adam. But he doesn't go directly to Adam, says the Rambam. However, there is an eternal hatred between the snake and Eve, his descendants and her descendants. But wait a second, her descendants are Adam's descendants. So the enmity, the hatred that runs between them is humanity versus the snake. Yet when the snake wants to attack, he doesn't attack Adam. The snake is only going to talk to Eve.
What are snakes? Like?
Future snakes. Wait. Your question's right. Wait. What's happening between the snake and Chava? The snake, his head attacks the heel. Eve is victorious over the snake when she bashes his head. Right? That's what the pasuk describes. Hu yeshuvcha rosh. He will bash you on the head.
Very interesting. I wonder if we hear that this generation is the heel.
What do you mean?
I don't know. Maybe I'm cross-pollinating metaphors here. I thought I heard from somewhere that this generation is the calloused heel of other generations. But it's very, quite very interesting. It's the heel that bashes the snake's head.
Interesting. Yeah, interesting. I don't know. It says that when the snake approached Eve, he was able to put his filth, his stench, into Eve. And only when we stood at Sinai were we able to remove that stench. All of humanity from Chava until the Jewish people at Sinai had that stench. And the Talmud says the nations who did not stand at Sinai, they never got rid of that stench. So what's going on here? Our sages say there's the tree of life and you couldn't access that after eating the forbidden fruit. So, Rambam doesn't explain. I think what Rambam's alluding to is that the term nachash means to guess. And the human existence is always fighting with the question, is Hashem watching over me? Or are there elements where nachash? I could be superstitious. I can do all kinds of foolish things like worry about a black cat crossing my path and not using a broken mirror. All kinds of things that I want to believe that they will ensure that I'll be okay. Someone came with a question last night. They asked, people have been getting ill in their house. What amulets do I believe in? So I said to them, I'll tell you what it says in Talmud. I'll tell you what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So they said, but what amulets do you believe in? So I said, I'll tell you what it says in Talmud. I'll tell you what it says in Shulchan Aruch. They said, yeah, but what amulets would you believe in? And I said, why are you running to amulets? The Talmud tells you what you're supposed to do if people in one's family become ill or they see things that are befalling them that seem unnatural. Why are so many times someone's getting sick in the family? The Talmud and Shulchan Aruch give you advice. Why don't you start with that? They're very disappointed. Why? Because that's the nachash. A person wants to think that they're supernatural and I could tap it and through that I will take control. How do we beat the nachash? Bash its head. Its head? Yeah.
The nachash yourself?
Rambam doesn't say. But I think that Rambam's stressing the idea that our sages say the nachash isn't who spoke to Eve. It's the angel that's on top of the nachash. It's that same angel that comes to Avram Avinu and says, Avram, what are you doing binding your son? So do I have to read that as an angel standing there with horns on its head and saying, Avram? Or do I understand that the Medrash is describing an internal struggle that Hashem allowed Avram this time to fight himself and ask himself, am I going mad? Does it have to be the angel shows up in the figure of an old man standing with a stick and saying, Avram? Or can it be inside Avram is having this internal struggle? And that's why the Rambam stresses, pay attention to the name of this creature. Why is it called a Nachash? Nachash means superstitious guesses. Why does the Torah describe bash its head? Because these types of thought processes, which we can have, but that comes back to the Rambam saying, can you unite your thought? Can a person recognize that Hashem is running this world? It's very difficult. It's not easy. We definitely could mislead ourselves and think, if only I eat that forbidden fruit, I'll be much better off. Why shouldn't I eat that? Looks very healthy. Where does the serpent try to catch us? At our heel. At our heel, at the furthest part from our soul, so to speak. But what you think you're standing on. You think you're standing on that. So Rambam doesn't spell out anything I just said. Rambam gives us a bunch of hints. And piecing them together, I thought that this might be what the Rambam meant. Maybe. According to this, we can understand why at Sinai, the Jewish people were able to remove the stench of the serpent. Because at Sinai, where Hashem revealed Himself, and they were able to understand that Hashem runs the world, and they received the Torah, which is called the Tree of Life, the Torah, so then they could break away from what the serpent had confused them. What the serpent does to Eve is bring her to a point of thinking, nah, Hashem isn't the boss of everything. There are good fruits here. If I eat from those fruits, I will be much better off. I'll be a healthier person, a smarter person, a more successful person. And that's the Yetzer Hara that we have all the time. Why does a person transgress? Because he says, I know God wants me to do this, but I have this feeling that if I do different, then I will be more successful. That's the nichush. That's where a person starts being called superstitious. And he thinks, I know I shouldn't make this phone call on Shabbos, but I'll get the job if I make the phone call on Shabbos. I know I shouldn't make this move or that move, but we get this feeling that our success is there. How many times do people cheat on their taxes? Because they think they're going to have more money in the bank that way. What do you mean? Of course I'm going to have more money in the bank. It's very simple. Either the government will take away 10,000 shekel or they won't. So of course I should cheat on my taxes, no? Vayanicheyu, Hashem brought Adam to a point where he was at peace in the Garden of Eden. And that's the idea that resurfaced, that the Jewish people were able to tap again at Sinai. That recognition that Hashem Echad, Hashem is running the show, Naasev Nishma, I'm prepared to go Hashem's way, and then a person can attain that inner peace. So this is the direction I think Rambam is developing. Again, Rambam told us, I'm going to tell you parts and you have to put it together. So I could be totally wrong. Could be, but I'm giving you the basis of why, what I'm thinking and why.